Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us David Drebin. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, I'm excited to talk to you because just glancing at your bio and your background, I see some big, huge things. And I know that didn't start with day one. So I want to hear your story. What is it that back in the day you were this, and where did the kind of the boulders start rolling down the mountain? And I know it wasn't a perfect trajectory to, you know, the successful land that you're in now, but give us a little bit of that background.
Wow, where do I even start? I mean, Basically in my early 20s, I was trying to figure out what my purpose was in life. And I tried many different things. And I stumbled across photography, which was literally the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do because my mother was a photographer. And that just, to me, I thought the last thing I'd ever want to be is a photographer because my mom's a photographer. And it just sort of hit me when I had a roommate in Vancouver who was taking photography classes, and he came home one day and showed me these unbelievable photographs that were like magic to me. And at that moment, I thought, I need to be a photographer because it was like magic. So that's where it started. I never thought it would be a profession. I always thought it would be a hobby. So it kind of turned into an accidental business for me. That came out of a passion for a hobby. And then I had to scramble to run a business that started out as a hobby.
So I think it's interesting what you just said there because you kind of looked at it like, you know, oh, mom does this, it's photography. And in the business world, I would kind of relate that to, oh, I'm an order taker. When people call in, they want this, I place their order and next, and I take their, they're just another number. And, but yet when the light bulb goes off for people to go, hold on, the people are calling me, asking me this. And yes, I could place the order for X, but if I asked a few questions and it got really creative, maybe I can open their eyes up to what they really need, which would be X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. And that's kind of what happened with you. You looked at photography as, oh, that's just what mom does. But what was it that really opened your eyes up to go, wow, wait a minute, this could be a powerful branding tool. This could be, you know, the you know, windows to the soul of the world. What was it like that way for you?
Well, when I started doing commercial work and I started working for other brands, I realized that I was actually the brand and I didn't want to work for other brands. So then I found my own style, making all different sorts of art forms, photographs, diamond dust prints, neons. And I marketed my work all over the world, found manufacturers all over the world who could help me with my vision. And I found distributors who would sell my work for me because I'm in the third party validation business. I don't sell my work directly. Yeah. And I realized that I'd rather be a product, create a product than actually be a service working for brands. A lot of people work for brands, but I realized that I wanted to be the brand that other people worked for.
That's a huge aha realization because working for a brand, that phrase is like punching the clock, trading hours for dollars. And there's only so much time in the day or attention you can give. But yet when you become the brand, now you can make that one piece of content, whatever that is, and that could get sold over and over and over and over again. And now you might have worked 10 minutes and to fulfill something, but you're getting paid over and over again. And that, I think, is a huge mindset shift.
Definitely. But the key to understand is that this was a hobby for me. This was a passion for me. And my focus was never making money. My focus was having a passion, and I always loved to win. So this is just a byproduct of passion and winning. Because money was never my drive, ever.
I would also say that passion and winning and drive and endurance and all these things are Excellent. But I think that you'd be running around like a chicken with your head cut off if you didn't already know your why and your purpose and vision and mission and all of those things. Because I think that kind of gets to the point where, okay, once I figure out what I really want, you know, the begin with the end in mind, now I need to let the other things click into place, which is my passion and my endurance. Because if you're not passionate about something, you're not going to be drawn to it, which means there's going to be work involved. So you got to have perseverance and endurance. So talk a little bit about, you know, some of the times where, yeah, you got your why and your passion dialed in, but then there were some days that might have been not been so fun, but yet you found yourself able to persevere through that. What were some of the traits that pushed you?
Well, I think the key is to never think that you're actually that successful. Because I feel like I lose many days, but I win many months. Whereas other people win many days, but then they lose many months and many years. So for me, it's just it's kind of like a hustle and a grind. And most people don't see the work behind the work itself. But that's where habits are formed and discipline is put into action. So for me, it's really about having great habits, being extremely disciplined, and having such unrelenting focus to enjoy the process and never really look at the results. And a lot of people want things fast, but it's a slow burn. It's a journey. It's a marathon. This is definitely not a sprint. And you have to really love what you do. That's the key to any kind of success, is it has to start from loving the process. And you don't ever lose. You just learn. And a passion for winning. It really comes down to a passion for winning. Mm-hmm. But people want fast money. And for me, this was all about habits and perseverance and relentless drive and focus.
And also a passion for learning and staying up to date and fresh, because I guarantee you that the photography equipment you used 10 years ago is not the same as today. And the technique you used 10 years ago is not the same as today. And it's like they say, if you have 10 years of experience, do you have 1 year of experience 10 times over? Meaning you're not really bettering yourself. You're not really seeing how you can improve. You're just doing the same thing for the next year and the next year. Or do you actually have 10 years of experience where year one, you learned some things and took that into year two. Then you learned some more things and took that into year three. So what do you do to make sure you stay on the top of your game and to always be learning so that keeps your passion and fire burning?
I think the key is to always think about how you can provide value to other people. Mm. I never saw myself as an artist. I never saw myself as a photographer, actually. I thought to myself, how could I make products that people will be able to relate to, that they will love? So I'm constantly making new products, new art forms that I know people are going to love these products and it's going to resonate with them. And that's the key for me, is always reinventing myself to provide value to other people.
So when you say new art forms, give us an example of a new art form, because I really love that concept. It makes me think of the old saying from Wayne Gretzky, you know, I skate where the puck is going, whereas a lot of people skate to where they're focusing on the puck and they get left behind because the puck's moving. Well, what's a new art form that, you know, if you only focus on what art is today, well, that's going to move in 6 months or 4 years. You need to stay ahead of that curve. What does that look like in your world?
Well, I never really thought about being relevant or staying ahead of any curve. I just thought about constantly reinventing myself. So I make many different types of photographs. I photograph girls. I photograph landscapes. I make diamond dust prints. I make neons. I make sculptures. We make etchings on glass. There's so many different types of art forms that we make that all have a highly recognizable style. And I think the key to being successful is to have your own highly recognizable style. Whether you like the works or not, you can always tell who the product is made by and who the artist is by having your own highly recognizable style. So I spent years and years and years experimenting to find my own personal style, that I believe is highly recognizable all over the world.
That's an interesting comment, because in business, we're told, how do you create a competitive advantage so that you stand out from your competition? Because if you make widgets or do this specific service, so does your other 1,000 competitors. What makes you stand out? You know, and we hear in, you know, American Idol or The Voice, you know, where some of the judges say, I could close my eyes and listen to your voice and know exactly that's you because you stand out. So what is it when you're talking in the world of art and artistry? What is it that you would say to someone on how they could find their own style? Because that is not an easy box to check. It's not just like, oh, you just do step 1, 2, 3 and there's your style.
Most people don't have their own highly recognizable style, and that could frustrate people. So I'm not really thinking about other people other than the fact that I have my own highly recognizable style that I spent years and years and years and years crafting. And it doesn't come right away. It comes through making a lot of bad photographs to actually make a good photograph. It all comes from kind of failing to become great. You don't start off being great. You got to walk before you run. And I think it comes down to being extremely patient, resilient, and having nonstop focus in being your authentic self. And hopefully that's unique to the world and you can create value to other people with your own highly recognizable style.
You know, you've said this several times before, but to all people, providing value. And I think that's kind of where it is you never looked at this like a business to make money. You know, how can I earn the most? You watch for ways to give and serve and provide value. And then when that mindset is in place, then, you know, value comes back to you, of course. But I think that's a lot of times people think, I want to get into this profession so that I can make money, make a name for myself. But I think that almost becomes like a conflict, and you kind of have to step back and go, what's my style? How am I going to provide this style as added value to what group of people? And then let's see if people recognize that and reward that effort with, you know, revenues and monetary. So is that something where you know, you said you've made a lot of mistakes. Well, a lot of times people can make mistakes and not learn from them, because you said, you know, you don't win or lose, you win or you learn. Boy, that's, it kind of gets down to character traits, because a lot of things you've said relate to a lot of qualities that we hear life coaches of the world teach. But if you would have made the wrong decision after that one failure or the other failure, we might not be seeing, you know, what you're doing today.
I'm not really sure what the question is. Sorry.
The question when you realize that, when people realize that, what are some of the ways that would draw someone to realize, okay, that is a failure, but I need to learn from it? What is it in your mindset that you feel like when you went through that flipped the switch to go, okay, this was a failure, but I need to learn from it, rather than letting that failure define you?
Well, it comes down to, sometimes I look at photographs and think that's just not good. And I thought it would be a great idea beforehand. And then when I see the final result, I am my own biggest critic. So I criticize the works, and I have to accept the works before I show them to anybody else. No one's more of a critic of me than I am of myself. So that is the foundation of everything I do, because I am my audience and I am my biggest critic. And I made a lot of photographs that I never showed the world, much like songwriters who just won't put their songs out there until they really believe that it's a great song. It's the same way with making photographs. I never think about failure. I just won't release it until I believe it's great. Failure is not an option, actually. But greatness is something to pursue, while failure is never an option.
That's huge. Yeah. I love that. That is a spectacular mindset. And if you are striving for that and holding yourself to that level, then what comes out should be the best work that you can do. Well, David, I think it's just really spectacular what you've talked about here today. If someone's interested in checking out some of your work, where can they find that and look at some of your masterpieces?
Well, I'm on Instagram at David Drevin. I'm on Twitter at David Drevin and TikTok at daviddrevin.com. And my website is daviddrevin.com. And the key for me is not just to show my work, but to inspire other people to become great at what their mission is in life and what their purpose is.
I love it. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was a real pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.